from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, back at Texans training camp, practice has just ended for the day. They went a little long, at least compared to Friday, but they are now, well, some guys are trickling off the field. We still have a few stragglers over there. Azeez Al-Shaair will join us at some point here shortly, so stick around for that. Practice did end. There was an interception. I don't know if it was the final play of practice, but it was one of the last plays of practice where Davis Mills was picked off by Jeff Okuda. Mills almost was picked off by Kalen Bullock a little bit earlier in practice. So not the best day for Davis Mills. I guess not the best day for the offense, but we'll hear from Azeez Al-Shaair, see what he thought about how things went. On Saturday, though, we started to see the new kickoff rules put in motion.
Yeah.
And we heard from Frank Ross to finally talk about this. We have talked about it a ton just because this is an extreme rules change. Like, you see rules changes every now and then. Most of them are not all that noticeable. This kickoff rule is going to completely change how kickoffs are done and how kickoff returns are done. So Frank Ross was able to speak on that on Saturday. And this was how he decided to plan his offseason, you know, understanding that there are some new rules.
Yeah, and everybody, you know, just even reading experts and their philosophies, hey, it's going to be more size players that are going to be used on the unit. You're going to be more speed players. You're going to need more multiple people that can handle the ball as a back end a return man. We have to be able to be diverse and have people, you know, going back to the old, I need to be a football player. So, you know, guys that are receivers have to be dynamic cover players now. Excited just to pick an example, like Brevin Jordan, you know, made a tackle on a kickoff last year. Like, he hadn't done, now he's got to go cover. So it doesn't matter where you come from position-wise on the roster. We've got to be flexible. And then with that many more plays in the game, how durable can you be as a roster? So more players are covering kicks, more players are taking hits, more players are delivering hits. What does that mean for the longevity of 17 games? And how are we going to handle that as a management staff, coaching staff? So excited for the challenges. We'll sort it out as best we can.
You mentioned it. Major change to a rule. It's basically the pitch clock.
Yeah.
Like teams are going to have to make very big adjustments. And here's my takeaway as I'm watching them Saturday and a little bit today, really kind of unveil how they're going to do, or at least how they're going to start to do the kickoffs. It occurred to me, like, there are going to be teams, Adam, that take full advantage of it, exploit it, and get really good at it. And it's going to be a real weapon for them. And then there's going to be teams that don't. You know, it's going to be an adjustment period, and maybe it affects a game or two. And I'm talking about the regular season now. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. It was very fascinating to watch on Saturday. We'll get into that a little bit now. But there's going to be teams, you know, it's going to change the way you watch the game. It's not a bathroom break anymore automatically when you go to the kickoffs. And what he said right there was very evident on the field. A lot of, you know, trim, longer, thinner, speed type players on the field. I didn't see any 60s, 70s, or 90 numbers out there. It was the biggest guys on the field were tight ends.
And the NFL has changed kickoff rules in the past, but it's been, all right, we're going to move the kickoff from the 35 back to the 30, or we're going to move the kickoff back up to the 35, yeah, or we're going to change the touchback. It used to be you get the ball at the 20. Now you're getting the ball at the 25. This is a wholesale change on, yeah, where play, and they've changed like the wedge blocking stuff,
yes,
and you know, they've changed those rules. But this is a wholesale change based on where players line up, where teams get the ball after a touchback. So again, this is something, like you said, this is like the pitch clock. This is taking away the shift. This is getting rid of illegal defense in the NBA. Like, this is, there are a whole lot of changes.
Let's play what Frank Ross here, also talking about how it's affecting him, exactly what we're talking about.
Two part. First part is, man, watch every single thing that's ever been kind of done in that capacity. So every of the other league's reps, trial and error in our reps from the OTAs and spring ball, and watching those at nauseam during the summer break there, and as we get back into camp. And then the second part is kind of how I've always enjoyed operating, and you know, it's not my room. I'm a special teams coach, but it's not my room, it's their room. So, hey fellas, how do you see this being played? MJ, Stewart, hey, could you execute that block? Great. How early do we need to flip to execute our blocks? So just, you know, hey, this is a feedback loop type of time, or time of the year, and what we find out can work. And then there's going to be adjustments come after preseason one, and then after the regular season one, and then quarterly. So, you know, we'll continue to see those are the ones on the grass. Those guys are the ones on the grass doing it, not me. So it's an input and a feedback loop we have going.
And I'm sure people are wondering, all right, what did it look like? Who's going to be returning? Well, let me tell you from what we saw Saturday and today, the four players that seem to be most involved in terms of return men and close quarters and being able to make moves and stuff were Steven Sims and Desmond King, and then also Damian Pierce and Robert Woods. And that's one of the reasons I said we might be sort of sleeping on Robert Woods, but I could absolutely see Damian Pierce being integral there. Steven Sims, we know what he can do, and then Desmond King as well. So those four guys were involved in the return, and it's going to be fun to watch.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
And I do think what Frank Ross just said about getting input from other players, getting input from the players, I think is important, because he's never dealt with this before. They've never dealt with this before. So they're all trying to learn this whole thing together.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that he is willing to take input from the players to see what would work, because they're the ones that are on the field, I think that matters. Now, this isn't the first league. The NFL is not. They're basically, the NFL is stealing this from the UFL.
Yes.
And the UFL did this this past season. And so Frank Ross was asked if he attended any UFL games just to see how this looks in person.
First part, I do not go to many football games with my four kids. So we go to the high school games. We go to high school games. So trial and error, a lot of input. We did a whole coaching staff, and then just as many people, whether it's a run game coach, you know, for the offense, or, hey, the linebackers coach, how does he see this being fit, you know, linebacker fitting? So take input from anywhere, for sure. And we're going to do some trial and error, of course, exotic designs on the whiteboard, and then, you know, see what we can really actually work on the grass, and then move on from there.
Yeah, and the other part that's interesting is I love the fact that the ball is going to be in such tight quarters. As I'm watching these guys work on this, you could see, like, it's one on one. Like I said earlier, it's not going to limit. It's going to be an exciting play. It's not going to limit the amount of blocks and contact and moves and exciting plays. It's just not going to be the crashes that you see on normal ones.
All right, now, here's Frank Ross's reaction to when he found out the kickoff rule was going to be changed.
My buddy told me my football spirit is dead. I would say I'm a traditionalist. Change is, you know, inevitable relative to everything in our world. But, I mean, I'm a traditionalist. It's maybe not exactly how I would do things. But that being said, you know, somebody's challenging you to go and perform and find ways to be great at what you're supposed to, you know, your line of work is, and I enjoy that. So challenge accepted, and going to try and do our best. And there is an excitement level of, like, hey, can we coach our guys up, and can we get those guys to go play good football? So there's an uptick in spirit, but maybe not exactly how I thought it was going to come along. So good question.
Challenge accepted. I kind of feel like he's playing possum here.
Well,
I really do. Like, I bet you he's in the lab, man.
No, he hates this.
I know he hates it, but I bet he's taking on the challenge. Like, I'll show you.
It sounds like all the hitters all the baseball players when they were asked about the pitch clock rules and how much everybody hated it.
Yeah,
spring training last year, they all hated it. I guarantee you, he hates this. He basically called himself a football purist.
He's so old school.
Yeah.
But the other thing is,
I'm the same way.
Like, you know, I mean, this is Frank Ross. He's one of the best in the business. You know, he's got some things that he's been working on. He said it earlier just in passing. Everybody takes their vacation. He was just watching film the whole time. And I believe him. I believe that he was just watching film.
And he's going to need to, because, again, this is where special teams coordinators are going to make their money this year. And you are going to – I think the good ones and the bad ones are really going to stand out. The teams that are able to adjust and adapt and figure out how to utilize their personnel correctly, they are the ones that are really going to stand out. And we'll see – and we're going to see it early here. I mean, we've got, 10 days is the Hall of Fame game. And so we're going to really see this in action, where there's some actual hitting. And I do want to see – Are teams going to show their hand with this? Are they going to really bust open the playbook, or are they going to go vanilla with this just so that nobody gets anything on top?
No, I think it's their only opportunity. I'm not going to say they're going to run any trick plays off of this or anything, but I think they're going to go. Like, this is going to be the truest thing that you'll see in the preseason because they got to figure it out. They only have so many inter-squad practices where they can work on it otherwise.
And, you know, here, you do it out here, nobody else can see it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody filming. Like, they make sure the shooting portion of practice does not include the special team stuff. Like, they don't let you film any of the good stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see how that goes. Right now, waiting for D'Amico Ryans to talk to the media, and hopefully we'll be able to get an update on Joe Mixon and his status. He did not practice today after he did not practice on Saturday, so we'll see if we can get you an update there. We are also going to hear from Azeez Alshaier maybe after this break.
Yeah.
So stick around for that.
No, he's coming.
And so,
he's coming.
Okay, so we'll take a break, and when we come back, hopefully we'll hear from Azeez Alshaier. That's next on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you from the Methodist Training Center. Texans Training Camp Day 4 is over, and we are joined by Texans linebacker Azeez Alshaier. This felt like training camp with the heat. How was it?
Oh, man, thanks, guys, for having me. But, yeah, man, it definitely felt like training camp. You got the heat back. You know, reminds me of when I was back in college at FAU, you know, doing training camp in the heat. So it definitely was a grind, but it feels good, man, when you get done and, you know, everybody's working hard and you're just pushing yourself. And you look back on the day and just, you know, you put the work in. So we're just trying to keep stacking days, but it's been good.
And so, the grind hasn't hit yet either, where it really hits you about midway through, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's always that. You first get in the building, everybody's super excited, you know, ready to show off what they've been doing. You know, during the off season, during the time away, 40 days away. And then, you know, just slowly start to build up that callus little by little. So we just, like I said, taking it one day at a time.
So you played for D'Amico Ryans in San Francisco. He was a position coach. He was a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
What has been different about D'Amico Ryans, the head coach, so far?
I think, honestly, that's what I just think makes him kind of special. He's been the same guy, you know, and then that's something that I've known. You know, I've only known him for the last 6 years, but then you talk to people when I get here or people that's known him, you know, since he was a player, and they say he was the same guy. So I think that's what makes him such a special coach, and that's why he's well respected around the league and just, you know, around day-to-day people that know him or been around him, you know, any of his life. So I think it's just pretty cool, you know, seeing him in that role. I laugh a lot of the times in some of the meetings and stuff, just being around him so much, you know, his mannerisms, you know how he is. So I just might see like a little facial expression he makes or something like that, where he like might be trying to hold in a certain emotion or something. I just start laughing at him because I know he understands, you know, what it's like to be a leader amongst men, and now at the highest level, at the highest position as a head coach. You know, I think it just is fitting for the type of person he is.
I mean, that's why you're here, right? I mean, I know there's a number of reasons why you're here, but the familiarity, you said he knows you, you know him. And just watching the first three, you know, four practices now, it seems like you're just so comfortable in this environment. Is that true?
Without a doubt. You know, I think that's one of the big factors in me coming here is just when you know somebody and you know what it's like going to war with them, you know their intensity, the mindset, you don't have to second guess it. So it just makes it a little bit easier with that transition. You know, same thing with playing with a guy like Jimmy Ward, who was with me since I was a rookie in San Francisco as well. You know, I come in and familiar voice. I know the type of communicator he is. I know where he's going to be. I understand the scheme. He understands the scheme. So it just makes the transition a lot easier. So.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Azeez Alshaier joining us here on Sports Radio 610. I want to talk about this defense and the guys that you have on the field with you, especially on the ends, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. What has stood out about them so far?
Oh, man, they're just workhorses. You know, I sit next to Danielle in the locker room. We got lockers next to each other, so we talk every single day. And Will is, like, right down from us, but me and him talk same every single day. And they're just always working, man, taking care of their bodies. You would think Will was in his sixth year. The way he takes care of himself reminds me a lot of how Nick Bosa just came in when we were rookies. Me and him were in the same rookie class, and I think he was just as pro-ready as I've seen, you know, since being in the league. And, you know, you look at a guy like Will, who's only in year two, and you wouldn't know he was in year two. So
yeah.
You just see the consistent work showing up, grinding just from both of those guys. So it's definitely it shows why, you know, Daniil is in year 10 and mm-hmm. had all the success he's had. And it also shows, you know, why Will, as a rookie, had so much success early on as well.
You know, a lot of people make it a big deal about the new rule with the kickoffs. I want to ask you about the hip drop. Mm-hmm. Like, that's got to be, like, what has been the adjustment? I mean, what are your thoughts on the whole thing, the hip drop tackle, as they talk about?
I mean, I don't know. For me, I try not to. If a guy is dragging me, then they're probably not in a good position. But just playing football, I think you just – you never know. Like, we just teach, like, scratching, clawing. You're just trying to get the guy down. I don't think anybody, from my knowledge, from the history of playing with football with anybody I've ever played with, has ever intentionally said, I'm going to drop and hit this guy in his ankle and try to break his –
like, but it's on your mind?
No. That's the whole point. Like, it's not on nobody's mind at all. So it's like now, you know, it's the same thing with, like, the quarterback rules. It's a weird – ticky-tacky thing where now it's on your mind. So I guess, like, it just makes it harder and harder to play defense in this league. But that's why, you know, you got to respect good defense in this league, because they just make it harder and harder every year. Mm-hmm. You know, they say fans don't come to watch defense. They come to see offense score points. But I think, honestly, defense is what helps you win a championship. Obviously, you got to have a great offense, but you got to have good defense as well. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a challenging thing, but just something you got to constantly just – train to tackle the right way and wrap and getting the guys down the right way and, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of take care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Azeez Al-Shaair joining us on Sports Radio 610. You're with Tennessee last year. So you played the Texans twice. What stood out? And you saw them at the end of the season. Both games were at the end of the season. So what stood out to you about them when you were playing against them and preparing for those games?
You could just see the DNA, the imprint that D'Amico coming over there. You know, because I already had players. Like, this is the NFL. So, think about every single year. I don't care what team you're on, and whether it's a 0-17 team or 17-0. Like, the talent difference is very, very minimal. But, you know, it's the best of the best players all across the league. Spread it out. This isn't like college where you got Alabama and then, you know, some other school. That's mm-hmm. just – this is not that. So, I think you just click on the tape and you just see the way that they're getting to the ball, where they're playing. Even if you don't know scheme, if you just watch the effort, the mentality, and that's what pretty much stood out, you know, offense, defense, and their special teams. So I think that was just like a cool thing to see from afar, mm-hmm. you know, when you might be cross-referencing film and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's not cool when you're playing against them and you're watching on the field. But from afar, just to see, you know, the DNA and the mentality that D'Amico brought over here with the players that they already have, and then adding the players that they just got over last year, and you know, just seeing how it all started to gel together. So you could see it coming together for sure.
And what about the Texans and Titans rivalry? Because it picked up big time here with all the uniform stuff and all that. Did the intensity raise as much on that end, and did Callan Hanna tell you to forget everything you ever knew about Tennessee when you got here?
Yeah, I was just talking to him earlier, man, and I was just telling him, because in the offseason, you know, I played there last year in Tennessee, and they played with a great group of guys. You know, one thing, this is a business, mm-hmm. But it's a brotherhood. When you play in the NFL, I don't care if you strap up with somebody for 3 weeks. You know, it's just like it's a fraternity that you can't buy your way into. So, you know, it's always love and respect throughout the league and for the guys. But definitely, I think fans take it so much harder than us, and we're the ones that actually put on the helmets.
Yeah.
So it's funny because I was training in the offseason wearing the Oilers helmet on purpose. Just giving them a hard time.
Here?
Yeah, I wore it back home in Florida when I was training.
Oh, Lord.
So all the people in Tennessee, when I would post it, were giving me a hard time, and they were just like, oh, man.
So it's Houston, right?
That's my point. I'm like, it's the Houston Oilers. I don't know. You know, I'm just giving them a hard time because initially, like, I knew about the rivalry a little bit, but it was only because my little brother was always a Titans fan, random as heck, but he loved Chris Johnson, so because he played running back, so he was always a Titans fan. So that's the only reason why I knew a little bit about, like, that Oiler rivalry thing. And so then when I got to Tennessee and they started talking about it, it's like, dang, like, this is serious. They really hate each other. So then it's just honestly something I did in the offseason just to mess around.
So you got a little funny side too.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'll try to keep it light.
Azeez Al-Shaair joining us on Sports Radio 610. All right, you come in as an undrafted guy. Mm-hmm. So that's not easy to do, to make your way and have the career that you have had. What is the key, and who are some of the maybe undrafted guys that we aren't talking about right now that have really shown you something so far, either in the offseason or so far in camp?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key is, like, you have to come in and you got to just, one, obviously you got to work. You know, I think a big part of anybody's job and anything that you're doing is you got to work, but you also have to have, you know, unwavering confidence and belief in yourself. But you get the confidence through the work and mm-hmm. through learning and growing. You know, when I was a rookie, I came in and I learned from everybody. I didn't care if you were a wide receiver, if you were a six-year guy who I never even heard of, you know, but you got, I tell the guys coming in now, you got a guy like Neville Hewitt. He's in year 10.
Yeah.
And he was also undrafted. And I sit there and tell the guys who coming in the linebacker room, like, look, you looking at me because I'm, you know, the multi-million dollar linebacker. And it's like, bro, longevity looks different
yes.
in the NFL.
And yes.
everybody might not reach that type of pinnacle. But when you talk about 10 years in the NFL, it's hard to get three. So for a guy like Neville, you know, got so much respect for him as a player. And mm-hmm. 10 years in the NFL is insane. So, you know, I tell the guys, hey, you can learn from somebody like that just as much as you can learn from somebody like me.
Yeah.
So it's just being open to accepting knowledge from everybody, regardless of position or, you know, the status on the team. And just showing up every day, you know, with that confidence and that belief in yourself, trying to get better every single day.
All right, I got a really important question for you.
What's
your name? Reading about you this morning coming in, I was like reading some stories that you've always been very careful with your money, smart with your money, et cetera. And you apparently, tell me if this is wrong, you became something of a Walmart and Target aficionado. Is that correct?
Oh, my God. That's my first 2 years in the league, yeah, that was like 1,000% correct. I didn't care. I would come to the games with, like, the team issue stuff every day. And they would give me a hard time. I know Kyle Juszczyk, you know, that's my brother, but we used to sit next to each other, and he would always be like, bro, go to the store. Go buy something for yourself. And then I rode a bike my first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, I heard about it. Silver bike?
Yep. I remember Johnny Holland took me to go get that bike in the summertime, my rookie year. So I rode a bike for the first 2 years of my career. And definitely that's not the case now, I'll say. Still smart with my money, but graceful and blessed enough to make a lot more.
So Walmart or Target? Pick a side.
I think I'm more bougie now. I like Target, man. Target, my mama calls it Tarjay.
She yeah, of course.
Target.
So, of course.
You know, I think Target is where you go if you just, you're feeling bougie. You feel like you just got, you know, your money just hit the account. Target. On the back end of the month.
I can relate.
You know what I'm saying? The back end of the month, you go to Walmart, try to get all the deals.
Yeah.
All right, last thing before we get you out of here. You played at FAU yes, for sir. Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. Give me a Lane Kiffin story.
Oh, man, you got a million Lane Kiffin stories. You know, shoot, I'll give you a Monty Kiffin story.
Okay,
you know,
that's
R.I.P. to Monty.
Yes.
You know, somebody who I genuinely love and respect so much, you know, respect their entire family. And it was heartbreaking, you know, to know what happened to him and hear about him passing away. But I never forget, we were sitting in the office one day in the summertime when players didn't have to be in there, but I was always up there, and he was always up there. He mm-hmm. loved football, obviously, everybody knows that. And we just sitting there watching film. It was a Jacksonville Jaguars, just looking at all that old Cover 2 stuff that mm-hmm. he helped create.
Tampa 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just remember we sitting there chopping it up, we talking, and I'm just telling him about all my aspirations to get to the NFL, make it in the league. And I remember he had his Super Bowl ring from Tampa. And we sitting there, it was the most, like, it was very intense conversation, like very emotional, I guess. And we started crying. We got so deep into the conversation with each other. I never forget. He took off his Super Bowl ring and he gave it to me. And I had that Super Bowl ring from my junior year of college. I wore it every game, like to the walk. I had it all the way until my rookie year, the week of the Super Bowl. I went to Super Bowl as a rookie in San Francisco. We played in Miami. I remember that. But we getting down there is when I gave him back his ring.
Damn.
But it was just one of the coolest things. That's somebody, I'm from Tampa.
Yeah.
And know who he is. And then to be around him. And he's like family to me. His whole family is like family to me. So it just was like just the coolest thing. So, you know, I really...
that's an endorsement.
Without yes. a doubt, without a doubt.
That's
just,
an endorsement.
Just have so much respect and love for him and, you know, definitely miss him for sure.
We all do.
Aziz, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great season. Best of luck the rest of camp.
Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah. You, too.
Yes, that's Aziz Alshayer, Texans linebacker, joining us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610 after day four of Texans training camp. Thanks for coming on. All right, day four in the books here. We will try and get you an update on
We're going to hear from DeMeco?
Yeah, we're going to hear from DeMeco, and I'm trying to go through and see if he gave an update on Joe Mixon, who did not practice today for a second straight day. Do we want to go to break here?
No, we'll go to about 35, and I wanted to talk about Al-Shaair.
First of all, that was a tremendous story about Monty Kiffin.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to lead him into that, and I know we didn't have a ton of time, but I did want to make sure to ask him about the Kiffins, just because, to me, that's a very fascinating family. Lane is fascinating, and just hearing that story about Monty, that's not something that I expected to hear.
He gave it to him for two-plus years.
Yeah.
Gave him his Super Bowl ring. That's an endorsement of Al-Shaair as big as you can get. Because keep in mind, he was still in college. He was still not even in, and he ended up being undrafted, by the way, in the NFL. But Monty Kiffin certainly saw something in him. And I know, I wanted to get in the several questions with him. We're going to be very, very happy with Azeez Al-Shaair. Yeah. The football nuts and bolts part of what he was talking about, and he addressed it very quickly. I mean, very clearly. Like, he's here because of DeMeco Ryans. And DeMeco Ryans has him here because he understands what this defense is going to be all about. We talked about it just from a distance before we spoke with him. Like, what he's doing right now on the field stands out. I mean, it absolutely stands out, and they haven't even really been in pads yet. So it's going to be you're going to like what you get out of Azeez Al-Shaair.
And he's somebody that DeMeco Ryans targeted not just this past offseason, but going into his first season. Like, he wanted Azeez Al-Shaair for a reason, and I think that you're starting to see that reason. And he has the right outlook on everything. Again, I always like the guys who come in that are undrafted because they had to work for everything.
Yes.
You get a lot of these guys that are picked, high in the draft. They haven't had to work for a ton. A lot of times they are the top recruits coming out of high school, so they get everything handed to them in high school.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, I got a really important question for you.
What's
reading about you this morning coming in, I was like, reading some stories that you've always been very careful with your money, smart with your money, et cetera. And you apparently, tell me if this is wrong, you became something of a Walmart and Target aficionado. Is that correct?
Oh, my God. My first 2 years in the league, that was like 1,000% correct. I didn't care. I would come to the games with like the team issue stuff every day. They would give me a hard time. I know Kyle Juszczyk, you know, that's my brother, but we used to sit next to each other, and he would always be like, bro, go to the store. Go buy something for yourself. And then I rode a bike my first 2 years in the league.
Yeah, I heard about it. Silver bike?
Yep. I remember Johnny Holland took me to go get that bike in the summertime, my rookie year. So I rode a bike for the first 2 years of my career. And definitely that's not the case now, I'll say. Still smart with my money, but graceful and blessed enough to make a lot more.
So Walmart or Target? Pick a side.
I think I'm more bougie now. I like Target, man. Target, my mama calls it Tarjay.
Yeah, of course.
Target.
So, of course.
And I think Target is where you go if you feeling bougie. You feel like you just got, you know, your money just hit the account. Target. On the back end of the month.
I can relate.
You know what I'm saying? The back end of the month, you go to Walmart, try to get all the deals.
Yeah.
All right, last thing before we get you out of here. You played at FAU for Lane Kiffin. Mm-hmm. Give me a Lane Kiffin story.
Oh, man. He got a million Lane Kiffin stories. You know, shoot, I'll give you a Monty Kiffin story.
Okay,
you know,
that's
R.I.P. to Monty.
Yes.
You know, somebody who I genuinely love and respect so much. You know, respect their entire family. And it was heartbreaking, you know, to know what happened to him and hear about him passing away. But I never forget, we were sitting in the office one day in the summertime when the players didn't have to be in there, but I was always up there, and he was always up there. He loved football. Obviously, everybody knows that. And we just sitting there watching film. It was a Jacksonville Jaguars, just looking at all that old Cover 2 stuff that he helped create.
Tampa 2.
Exactly. Yeah. And I just remember we sitting there chopping it up. We talking, and I'm just telling him about all my aspirations to get to the NFL, make it in the league. And I remember he had his Super Bowl ring from Tampa. And we sitting there. It was the most, like, it was very intense conversation, like very emotional, I guess. And we started crying. We got so deep into the conversation with each other. I'll never forget. He took off his Super Bowl ring, and he gave it to me. And I had that Super Bowl ring for my junior year of college. I wore it every game, like, to the walk. I had it all the way until my rookie year, the week of the Super Bowl. I went to Super Bowl as a rookie in San Francisco. We played in Miami. I remember that. But we getting down there is when I gave him back his ring.
Damn.
But it was just one of the coolest things. Cause that's somebody, I'm from Tampa,
yeah,
and know who he is. And then to be around him, and he's like family to me. His whole family is like family to me. So it just was like just the coolest thing. So, you know, I really...
That's an endorsement.
Without a doubt.
That's an endorsement.
Just have so much respect and love for him, and you know, definitely miss him for sure.
We all do.
Aziz, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great season. Best of luck the rest of camp.
Thank you, guys. Nice to meet you, too.
Yeah. You, too.
Yes, that's Aziz Alshayer, Texans linebacker, joining us here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610 after day 4 of Texans training camp. Thanks for coming on. All right, day 4 in the books here. We will try and get you an update on...
we're going to hear from D'Amico?
Yeah, we're going to hear from D'Amico, and I'm trying to go through and see if he gave an update on Joe Mixon, who did not practice today for a second straight day. Do we want to go to break here? Do you want?
No, we'll go to about 35, and I wanted to talk about Alshayer.
First of all, that was a tremendous story about Monty Kiffin.
Oh, my gosh.
I wanted to lead him into that, and I know we didn't have a ton of time,
but
I did want to make sure to ask him about the Kiffins, just because, to me, that's a very fascinating family. Lane is fascinating, and just hearing, you know, that story about Monty, that's not something that I expected to hear.
He gave it to him for two-plus years.
Yeah.
Gave him his Super Bowl ring. That's an endorsement of Alshayer as big as you can get. Because keep in mind, he was still in college. I mean, he was still not even in, and he ended up being undrafted, by the way, in the NFL. But Monty Kiffin certainly saw something in him. And I know, you know, I wanted to get in the several questions with him. We're going to be very, very happy with Azeez Al-Shaair. Yeah. The football nuts and bolts part of what he was talking about, and he addressed it very quickly. I mean, very you know, clearly. Like, he's here because of D'Amico Ryans. And D'Amico Ryans has him here because he understands what this defense is going to be all about. We talked about it just from a distance before we spoke with him. Like, what he's doing right now on the field stands out. I mean, it absolutely stands out, and they haven't even really been on you know, in pads yet. So it's going to be you're going to like what you get out of Azeez Al-Shaair.
And he's somebody that D'Amico Ryans targeted not just this past offseason, but going
the
into
year
his
before.
First season. Like, yeah. he wanted Azeez Al-Shaair for a reason, and I think that you're starting to see that reason. And just he has the right outlook on everything. Again, I always like the guys who come in that are undrafted because they had to work for everything.
Yes.
You know, you get a lot of these guys that are picked, you know, high in the draft. They haven't had to work for a ton. They've either, a lot of times, they are the top recruits coming out of high school, so they get everything handed to them in high school. They get everything handed to them in college. They get everything handed to them in the NFL. You want the guys that went to the smaller school. They went to FAUs. They didn't get drafted. So they had to work for every single rep, for every single opportunity that they got. And it's a good example to have, especially when it's one of the most important guys on your defense.
And I got to tell you a story about Al-Shaair that I was reading about this morning as well. And I think it says a lot about to what you're talking about. When he was playing football in high school, and this says a lot about him, he really couldn't have in-home visits because he was living in, I mean, his house burned down when he was a kid, and he didn't really have a place that they could go to the high school, but they couldn't go to in-home visits. So it affected his recruiting, and that's one of the reasons that he went to Florida Atlantic, obviously. So this is a guy that has been, like, as I mentioned, his house burned down, you know, very, very limited means growing up. And that, I think that's part of the reason that he says, you know, he's always been trying to be smart with his money, et cetera. But no, this is a guy that certainly relates to what D'Amico Ryans is doing and how they want to do things here.
We'll get you an update on Joe Mixon. We'll do that in about 5 minutes. We'll give you an update on him. At the podium today, obviously, D'Amico Ryans, Stephon Diggs, and Derek Stingley Jr. at the podium today. So we'll get you a taste of that coming up a little bit later in the show. That is first time, obviously, that we have heard from Diggs. Actually, this is the first time that we've heard from both this training camp. But we'll make sure that we get you an update on Joe Mixon after today's practice. So again, thanks to Azeez Al-Shaair for joining us here on the show. I think all the interviews that we've had coming off the practice field have
been
terrific.
Fantastic. We've been on the road. Don't jinx it. Yeah. Don't jinx it.
Well, I'm not here tomorrow, so I don't care what happens.
So you don't care.
Yeah. Don't worry about Friday. I'm not worried about tomorrow. But yeah, Tank Dell was great for us. Will Anderson, I think, was great for you guys on Thursday. Again, day four of training camp. They'll be in pads, D'Amico Ryan said, tomorrow. So that'll be fun to that's when camp really starts.
Open practice?
It's the first practice. So fans are lucky because you guys get to see a real practice. To me, that's when camp starts. Camp starts when you start hitting people. And you're going to actually see guys start hitting people tomorrow. So that'll be a fun development.
And one thing, I mean, it's been really good, and they go really hard here. But pads tomorrow, open practice is going to be a lot of fun, no question about it. But one thing about the interviews we've had, and look, there have been years where we're like, who is this guy? Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest, that we're going to talk with. It's not just that these are bigger names that we're getting, but you're starting to get a sense of the type of players that are on this team. We've gone Will Anderson, off the charts, really good interview here. And it's not self-serving. It's them. Tank Dell, off the charts, really good. Al-Shaair right there. Could have talked to him for half an hour if he didn't have to go to the podium.
I could have talked to him about Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
Just growing up there.
Yes, like growing up there and certainly all the other things that, like I said, growing up, you know, with the limited means, and his house burned down, and he had to rush his brother and sister out of the house. I mean, he's just a really interesting guy. But those three guys are reflective of the type of player here. It's not just like a bunch of choir boys like back in the day, we want good guys. No, it's good guys that can flat out ball, you know, that are big names. And it's you're sensing just from here on Sports Radio 610, getting these guys and listening to them, like the type of player team that this is going to be.
And also, they're coming from winning programs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Will Anderson is coming from a winning program at Alabama, playing for Nick Saban. You have Aziz Alshayer coming from a winning program with the 49ers. Like, that sort of stuff matters because you understand what it takes to win at the highest level. You understand what it takes.
Yeah.
You know, you're holding yourself accountable and your teammates accountable at every step. And, like, you've seen, like, video from a Nick Saban practice where he's getting on you for any little mistake. It doesn't matter if it's a practice, the score of the – it might be 50-0 in a game.
Yeah.
At Alabama, and you might have a bunch of backups in.
And
but Nick Saban's calling timeouts because he can't get lined up right. Like, that's the sort of stuff that matters, and that's how you win at the highest levels, when you're detail-oriented.
Yes.
And you're making a big deal about something that might not seem like a big deal, but you're setting the stage because it might be a big deal here further down the road.
Yeah.
So that's something just to look forward to with the Texans here at the rest of camp. Again, Texans are in pads tomorrow. We'll have an update on Joe Mixon here coming up in a couple of minutes. We'll also hear from Derek Stingley Jr. and Stephon Diggs as they talk to the media today after practice. No Mixon today. No Dalton Schultz today. Did see Laremy Tunsil did not practice.
He was working out harder than usual.
Yeah, he was. And I think he's healthy. It's just one of those things where they're just kind of ramping him up to get to Indianapolis.
It's his rules.
That's the one thing that D'Amico Ryan said last week, was that it's all about Indianapolis. It's all about getting these guys ready for week one.
Yeah.
And I think at this point of his career, Laremy Tunsil knows exactly what he needs to do to get ready for Indianapolis. So that's coming up here later in the show. But coming up next, on Saturday, we got to see a little bit of 11-on-11, and you saw a little bit of what the Texans offense can be. That's coming up next on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop.
All right, Adam Spillane, John Lopez with you. Aaron Raybould is here with us at the Methodist Training Center. Figgy is back at the studio. Again, thank you to Aziz Alshayer for joining us. That was terrific. Great Monty Kippen story at the end. We will replay that for you in about an hour.
Yeah.
Texans wrap up day four of training camp today. No Joe Mixon on the field for the second straight practice. He was not out there on Saturday as well. Let's hear from D'Amico Ryans. D'Amico Ryans addressed Mixon and addressed some other things after practice today.
Fire away.
Coach, it seems like the last 2 days of training camp, it looks like the intensity has picked up. Is that something that you notice as well?
Yeah, I think guys are showing up with the right mindset, and that's what I encourage our guys daily, right? You have to show up on purpose, right? You have to show up with an intent and a mindset to get better, and you've seen intensity pick up, and that's how camp usually goes. You kind of ease into it, and guys see what it's going to be like, and they start to just get more comfortable with what we're asking them to do, and that allows them to play a little bit faster.
It looks like a little bit of the last couple of days. What's the mission behind
Say that again.
Joe Mixon missed the last couple of days of practice. What's the reason for him not practicing?
Yeah, Joe will be fine. Joe may miss a little time, but he'll be fine. Joe's one of the toughest competitors we have, right? So I'm not worried about Joe. He'll be fine. No issues there.
It looks like a little bit of an intimidating offense. How would you assess what was going out there, or would you say his defense was just playing top this game?
I think when you look at it, right, as you're watching it live, you see, right, the defense made a few plays, but we always go back and watch the tape and see, right, I always tell you never know really what happened until you watch the tape and get a true understanding, but defense made some plays, offense made plays, it's been a lot of back and forth, and that's the makings of a good team. You want it to be back and forth. You don't want practice to be lopsided every single day, and it's been that way for us. Offense has had some days, defense have had some days, so I'm encouraged by both sides having their good.
Mario Edwards is a veteran, been around the league for a while now. You see him so far, what can he bring to the table?
Yeah, Mario, veteran, he shows up, man, intense every day, locked in. Coach, how can I get better, right? You show up with that mindset, it's easy for us to coach you, and Mario has done a great job for what we've asked him to do, a little scheme change for him, and he's taken to it well. He's taken the coaching well. Coach Rod has done a great job with him. He just adds to the versatility amongst our defensive line, and that's what we're looking for across our entire team, just versatility. As many versatile players as we can have allows us schematically, right, to mix things up a lot.
What do you see from him from the way he played the end of last season?
season to where he is today?
Yeah, Derek has done a great job in camp. He's been very consistent, one of our most consistent players in camp, so I'm encouraged with where Derek is.
Coach, on Saturday, we got a chance to talk to Matt Burke about moving Jalen Petrie around a little bit, getting him back familiar with maybe some of the schemes that he ran in college. What did you see on film to be able to say maybe we should do something like that?
It's not what I've seen on film with Jalen. It's just who Jalen is as a person, as a player. Right, Jalen, is very versatile, right? You talk about a guy who's disruptive when he's blitzing. He's disruptive in the pass game, running game. So Jalen is moving all around different places, and that's something I think that will help us defensively.
How would you assess how CJ Diggs' connection is looking like?
Yeah, CJ and Diggs have been really, they're really good. You see them growing. You see them, their connection, their bond, they're communicating. Seems like after every snap, right, those guys were talking or pre-snap with alignments. They're getting on the same page, and that takes time. It takes building a relationship outside of being on the football field. It takes building that relationship right in the locker room, meeting rooms, and that's what I see from both of those guys, a ton of communication, which allows their relationship to grow, build stronger.
Kamari Lassiter made plays during OTAs. He made plays when he came from made plays today. When did you notice he was, when he was doing against some of the top players, when did you notice he was kind of ready for that challenge to go against some of the better players that you have?
Kamari is showing up every day. He's quiet, but he's locked in, focused, intense, and you don't notice him much because he's always doing his job. He's always where he should be. He's always in position. He's always doing what we ask him to do. And as a rookie, that says a lot for a young guy to come in and, you know, not be noticed a lot for doing, you know, something negative. But everything has been positive with Kamari. He's exactly the guy we saw from the Georgia film. Like, dialed in. He's, a lot of people call him a dog. He's a dog. He's locked in, and it'll show up even more, I think, once we get the pads on. Just remember the Georgia tape, how physical he was when it came to tackling. So encouraged with where he is, you know, starting out such a young career, where he is right now in training camp, what he did in OTAs, I think he'll continue to ascend and get better.
Hey, you know, signing Cam Akers, what do you think about adding Cam to the equation? How do you see him fitting in the running back room?
We've added Cam, see if he can compete.
Hey, Coach, two-part question here. One, what's been your early evaluation of Blake Fisherman? Two, with Laramie Tunsil, how beneficial is it for a young rookie like himself to get those early reps going up against like a run?
It's really been an advantage for Blake, for Laramie being out and Blake having to get in there, all right, and learn on the fly. Like, it's really been very beneficial. It's an advantage to him because the more reps you get, the better you get, right? And Blake is going against Will. He's going against Daniil. So, I mean, all those guys are getting better up front. You talk about Blake, Titus, our entire offensive line, defensive line, the way they work. That's the hardest thing to do when you're trying to practice in a safe manner, right? The O-line and D-line, there's some give and take there, but they're also, they have to work their craft and get better. And I think both sides of the ball has done a really good job of, you know, iron sharpening iron, really challenging each other. So I'm very pleased with the way our O-line and D-line has been working.
How exciting is it when the pads come on? Like, when you're out here without pads, how exciting is that first day of pads?
Yeah, first day of pads is always an exciting day. And then after about 3 days, guys are ready to get out of the pads. So, and it lasts for a little bit, and then guys are tired of it. But it's fun for us. I don't know how much fun it is for the players, especially in this humidity. But it'll be fun to see the pads go on tomorrow, to see just a little more contact, a little more physicality. You shouldn't see much change from our practices, though. Main thing, how we practice. We want to keep everybody safe, keep everybody up off of the ground.
We'll take a couple more.
Going back to Kamari, I'm talking to the teammates. They kind of use the attitude of the dog as well. As you just mentioned, we haven't come to pass yet. How have you kind of seen that mentality from them already as far as that dog mentality?
You just see the mentality of, like, just his eyes, his demeanor. Like, in a meeting room, he's locked in. You can see it in his eyes that he's truly taking in what you're giving him when it comes to coaching points or corrections. And he's locked in from that standpoint. And when he comes out here on the field, it's the same thing. He's not a loud guy by words, but he's a loud guy by his actions. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans after day four of Texans training camp. A couple things that stood out. First is the Joe Mixon. He didn't really give an explanation of why Joe Mixon did not practice today or even Saturday, but does not seem to think that it's anything that's worth worrying about.
And then the other thing, he was asked about Cam Akers and didn't exactly say, yeah, we're excited to have him here or anything like that. He's just, hey, he's got a chance to compete.
You got to put those two things together, right? You know, I don't think, you know, it's a big deal with Joe Mixon. You know, he said, quote, he'll be fine, not worried, no issues there. Okay, didn't quite explain why he hasn't participated.
There is no, it's very Astros-esque right now.
Yeah. Didn't explain exactly why he hasn't participated. Just
where is the discomfort coming from?
If there's no issues, I mean, he still didn't practice. That's neither here nor there. I think he'll be fine. But you do kind of put them both together, whether it's, you know, Cam Akers, talk about a short answer. He'll just, we'll brought him in. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he can compete. And that's that. Look. I think Cam Akers is a good addition just to kick the tires no matter what. Whether it's you got a ton of confidence in Damian Pierce as the backup, you don't have a ton of confidence, whether there's anything going on with Joe Mixon or not, bringing in Cam Akers is going to be a good move. Maybe just the timing was weird, you know, that as Mixon misses his second day, you bring Cam Akers in. By the way, he was a full go. He did everything they asked today, Cam Akers did. But it's something to... just kind of keep an eye on and see if anything else develops. Certainly tomorrow with pads on, he did announce that. We expected it, that they'll be in pads tomorrow. Open practice for the fans tomorrow, so it's going to be nice and it's going to be exciting here. I'm quite sure where we're sitting, right on the 50-yard line, should be fun. But, I mean, keep an eye on it. You know, Mixon tomorrow, and then, of course, they brought in Cam Akers. I don't think it hasn't much to do with either of Damian Pierce or Joe Mixon. I think they just want to see what he's got.
Yeah. He's 25 years old, just turned 25, and obviously he's dealt with some Achilles stuff, and, you know, that's cost him some time. But you look, 2 years ago, let's see, he was, you know, with the Rams 2 years ago, he was really quite good. 4.2 yards a carry, 53%, you know, success rate on his runs. And so that's kind of what you're looking for. And that is somebody who might be able to help you down the road if he is healthy. And it's not like Joe Mixon. I don't think they expect Joe Mixon to give them 17 games this season. I think that's probably asking for a bit much at this stage of his career. So you need more than the one running back, and you're probably going to need more than two running backs. So if you can find quality depth anywhere, that's a guy that I think you look at as somebody who could be quality depth if you need it down the road.
Now, one thing I think there is more to, like, I like, just to be honest, you get a feel out here. You kind of understand, you know, what they're really trying to say. I get D'Amico, what he said regarding the running back position. One thing I think there is more to is Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie has played in the nickel. He's been moving around. Now, there's probably two things going on there. Number one, they can use what he does best better.
Yeah.
And he alluded to that. And number two, maybe they're still kind of in the market or like what they see here at the regular safety position. And he's played everything from nickel to kind of up on the line of scrimmage. Jalen Petrie will definitely get a good beat on that tomorrow. But I think there's more there with the Jalen Petrie, you know, his news, so to speak.
And you also heard him really rave about Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
And Kamari Lassiter, again, is somebody who I think I'll be interested to see over the next, you know, few days as we get into the Hall of Fame game on August 1st. Speaking of the corners, Jeff Okuda, a guy who was picked high in the draft, what, in 2020?
Yeah.
2019 out of Ohio State, third overall pick. He's on his third team at this point. Had some injury issues both with the Lions and with the Falcons. Had an interception today.
Yeah.
And that's an important position when you look at just you need guys, especially with the way the NFL is being played now. They're going to play Kansas City here down the road. They're going to be playing against a bunch of high-powered passing offenses. Like, you're going to need corners.
Yeah.
You're going to need guys who can cover. I think you feel really good about Derek Stingley on one side. It's now who can step up on the other side. Who can be the other guys that can emerge as coverage guys, because you're going to need that. And, you know, no more Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson had a solid year last year for them. He's not here, so you need somebody to step up in that role.
But he also raved, as much as D'Amico raves, about Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
Going up against the top-tier receivers on this squad, and we know how good they are. Quote, always doing his job. Seems to really like what Kamari Lassiter is doing. Talked about his physicality and how much he's looking forward to tomorrow as well with the pads. And then there was one more that was mentioned here, and we heard Will Anderson sort of mention him unprompted last Thursday, I believe, and that's Mario Edwards. Mario Edwards, it was one that, frankly, I'm just speaking for myself, but I think a lot of people felt like this, didn't really register with me as a guy that could maybe be on the front line of this defense and someone who's going to be, you know, integral in the rotation or whatever. But raved about Mario Edwards. I think he's definitely one to watch.
Yeah, for sure. All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610, and also we're going to we'll hear from Stephon Diggs a little bit later in the show. He talked to the media for the first time in training camp, so we'll let you know what he had to say. All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610. On Saturday, we heard from the coordinators. You heard from Bobby Slowick. You heard from Matt Burke. We're going to play what stood out about those two, especially when we talk about C.J. Stroud, and also it's the summer of Mechie. That's next on In the Loop.
We'll take a couple more.
Going back to Kamari, I talked to the teammates. They kind of use that attitude of dog as well. As you just mentioned, they haven't come to pass yet. How have you kind of seen that mentality from them already as far as that dog mentality?
You just see the mentality of, like, just his eyes, his demeanor. Like, in a meeting room, he's locked in. You can see it in his eyes that he's truly taking in what you're giving him when it comes to coaching points or corrections. And he's locked in from that standpoint. And when he comes out here on the field, it's the same thing. He's not a loud guy by words, but he's a loud guy by his actions. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, that was D'Amico Ryans after day four of Texans training camp. A couple things that stood out. First is the Joe Mixon. He didn't really give an explanation of why Joe Mixon did not practice today or even Saturday, but does not seem to think that it's anything that's worth worrying about. And then the other thing, he was asked about Cam Akers,
yeah,
and didn't exactly say, yeah, we're excited to have him here or anything like that. Just, hey, he's got a chance to compete.
You got to put those two things together, right? I don't think, you know, it's a big deal with Joe Mixon. You know, he said, quote, he'll be fine, not worried, no issues there. Didn't quite explain why he hasn't participated.
There is no, it's very Astros-esque right now.
Yeah, didn't explain exactly why he hasn't participated. Just
where is the discomfort coming from?
If there's no issues, I mean, he still didn't practice. That's neither here nor there. I think he'll be fine. But you do kind of put them both together, whether it's, Cam Akers, talk about a short answer. He'll just, yeah. We'll brought him in. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he can compete. And that's that. I think Cam Akers is a good addition just to kick the tires no matter what. Whether it's you got a ton of confidence in Damian Pierce as the backup, you don't have a ton of confidence, whether there's anything going on with Joe Mixon or not, bringing in Cam Akers is going to be a good move. Maybe just the timing was weird, you know, that as Mixon misses his second day, you bring Cam Akers in. By the way, he was a full go. He did everything they asked today, Cam Akers did. But it's something to just kind of keep an eye on and see if anything else develops. Certainly tomorrow with pads on, he did announce that. We expected it, that they'll be in pads tomorrow. Open practice for the fans tomorrow, so it's going to be nice and it's going to be exciting here. I'm quite sure where we're sitting, right on the 50-yard line, should be fun. Keep an eye on it. You know, Mixon tomorrow, and then, of course, they brought in Cam Akers. I don't think it hasn't much to do with either of Damian Pierce or Joe Mixon. I think they just want to see what he's got.
He's 25 years old, just turned 25, and obviously he's dealt with some Achilles stuff, and, you know, that's cost him some time. But you look 2 years ago, he was, you know, with the Rams 2 years ago, he was really quite good. 4.2 yards a carry, 53%, you know, success rate on his runs. And so that's kind of what you're looking for. And that is somebody who might be able to help you down the road if he is healthy. And it's not like Joe Mixon. I don't think they expect Joe Mixon to give them 17 games this season. I think that's probably asking for a bit much at this stage of his career. So you need more than the one running back, and you're probably going to need more than two running backs. So if you can find quality depth anywhere, that's a guy that I think you look at as somebody who could be quality depth if you need it down the road.
Now, one thing I think there is more to, like, I like, just to be honest, you get a feel out here. You kind of understand, you know, what they're really trying to say. I get D'Amico, what he said regarding the running back position. One thing I think there is more to is Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie has played in the nickel. He's been moving around. Now, there's probably two things going on there. Number one, they can use what he does best better.
Yeah.
And he alluded to that. And number two, maybe they're still kind of in the market or like what they see here at the regular safety position. And he's played everything from nickel to kind of up on the line of scrimmage. Jalen Petrie will definitely get a good beat on that tomorrow. But I think there's more there with the Jalen Petrie, you know, his news, so to speak.
And you also heard him really rave about Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
And Kamari Lassiter, again, is somebody who I think I'll be interested to see over the next, you know, few days as we get into the Hall of Fame game on August 1st. Speaking of the corners, Jeff Okuda, a guy who was picked high in the draft, what, in 2020?
Yeah.
2019 out of Ohio State, third overall pick. He's on his third team at this point. Had some injury issues both with the Lions and with the Falcons. Had an interception today.
Yeah.
And that's an important position when you look at just you need guys, especially with the way the NFL is being played now. They're going to play Kansas City here down the road. They're going to be playing against a bunch of high-powered passing offenses. Like, you're going to need corners.
Yeah.
You're going to need guys who can cover. I think you feel really good about Derek Stingley on one side. It's now who can step up on the other side. Who can be the other guys that can emerge as coverage guys, because you're going to need that. And, you know, no more Steven Nelson. Steven Nelson had a solid year last year for them. He's not here, so you need somebody to step up in that role.
But he also raved, as much as DeMeco raves, about Kamari Lassiter.
Yeah.
Going up against the top-tier receivers on this squad, and we know how good they are. Quote, always doing his job. Seems to really like what Kamari Lassiter is doing. Talked about his physicality and how much he's looking forward to tomorrow as well with the pads. And then there was one more that was mentioned here, and we heard Will Anderson sort of mention him unprompted last Thursday, I believe, and that's Mario Edwards. Mario Edwards, it was one that, frankly, I'm just speaking for myself, but I think a lot of people felt like this, didn't really register with me as a guy that could maybe be on the front line of this defense and someone who's going to be, you know, integral in the rotation or whatever. But raved about Mario Edwards. I think he's definitely one to watch.
Yeah, for sure. All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610, and also we're going to we'll hear from Stephon Diggs a little bit later in the show. He talked to the media for the first time in training camp, so we'll let you know what he had to say. All right, coming up next on Sports Radio 610. On Saturday, we heard from the coordinators. You heard from Bobby Slowick. You heard from Matt Burke. We're going to play what stood out about those two, especially when we talk about C.J. Stroud, and also it's the summer of Mechie. That's next on In the Loop.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.